of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may be ready to receive you whenever you appear, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. I said whenever you appear, and the word is wherever you appear. But I think wherever and whenever. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to ask the children on the ends, these young people, to come around to sit in front so you can see what I'm showing you. In our scripture today, in our lesson, the writer to the letter of the Hebrews talks about how faith is a gift, and faith is passed down through generations and generations and generations. So if I would ask you to think as far back as you can to somebody in your family or group of friends that has faith, you might, like I did, some kind of faith. Wouldn't that be something if everybody had faith? Oh, that would be a wonderful thing. And we pray that people have faith. I found this certificate. And this certificate is my grandfather's first communion certificate. So my grandfather, can you see it? Can you read this? What year?
1904.
My grandfather made his first communion. And the certificate is in German. So we can't really see, can't really read the German part, but maybe somebody can read the town right here. Somebody can read cursive?
And not very well.
Can anybody read cursive? German cursive makes it even worse. Altoona. No, excuse me. Alton. No, Alton. Alton. That sounds like your grandma's name. This only has one L. Alton, Iowa. In 1904, my grandfather, probably at 6 or 7 or 8 years old, received his first communion. So he is one of the ancestors of faith in my family, because his parents were born, my grandfather's parents were born in Germany. And they brought the faith with them to the United States. They were immigrants to the United States in the early 1900s. My grandfather was born, or maybe the late 1800s. My grandfather was born in the United States, but his parents and older brother were born in Germany. So we are a family, a church family of immigrants. We are a church family of people of faith that have handed it down to us. So our job is to learn about the faith so we can hand it on to the next generation and the next generation, so it continues and continues to grow and to flourish. We are surrounded, as it says in the Bible, by a great cloud of witnesses. With people, not only the people who are here. Look at those people. That's our cloud of witness too. All of these people who are faithful believers, who passed down the faith to you, and you can pass down the faith to next generations and next generations to come. Now you can go to Sunday school or to your summer Sunday church event. Okay, let's sing. Jesus loves the
little children, all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
The first reading is from Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 33 responsively. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all human kind.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God catches all their hearts and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength.
The horse
Truly your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love.
To deliver their lives from death, and to keep them alive in times of famine.
Our innermost being waits for you, O Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely our heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you.
Glory
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was now, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Hebrews. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for that place, for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in a land that had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as stars of the heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these who died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Word of God, word of life.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Sell your possessions, give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is one Bible verse that I wish we all had memorized and knew by heart. Maybe this should be every confirmation candidate's assigned scripture verse. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In some ways, that promise of Luke 12:32 can hold more hope than any other verse in Scripture. This is because this verse is all about what God is doing in our lives. And it's not about what we do. It's only about God and about God's pleasure. This is good news, and this is a promise for us today. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And what good news this is. God doesn't want to give us just some things. God doesn't just hope that we're all doing well. God's not like an Olympic judge with a clipboard checking off our good moves and watching for any little misstep. God wants to give us the kingdom. God wants to give us all good things. And not only does he want to, Jesus says this is God's good pleasure. Did you hear that? God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's a good thing to have this passage in your memory bank, to know it by heart, especially in these days, when we hear so many loud voices saying just the opposite in our world today. There is much to fear. We are told to be afraid. We're told to fear outsiders, to fear people who are different from us in race or religion, in nationality or political leaning. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, do not be afraid. And we don't have to be afraid because we have God's grace. Our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA, held its churchwide assembly in Milwaukee last week. There were more than 900 voting members, and they were not a fearful group. As a body convened, they may have been afraid on their own, but as a body convened, they seemed to sit up straight and take courage and become a bold body. And they took some bold steps. One action that struck me as particularly bold and trusting in God's call not to be afraid, but to love and to welcome all. You may not know, or you may know, that on the whole, our denomination is a very homogeneous group, especially in the makeup of the clergy. We are mostly white, mostly male, mostly straight, mostly older. And the assembly voted overwhelmingly to approve a strategy toward authentic diversity in the ELCA. Some smart people, some good theologians, some wise pastors, some good holy church people will continue to work together to help us become a more authentically diverse church. In other words, to look more like our neighborhood. Race, gender, age, ability, culture, socioeconomic status, family makeup, and more. Jesus says, do not be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because we have God's promise, God's grace. When this resolution that came to the floor, there's been a group of people working on this strategy for authentic diversity. And when that group stood, the task force stood on the stage and this resolution was being discussed, they stood back there and I looked at these people and I thought there were only a few colors of people. You know, white, brown, red, yellow, black. We sing that song with the children. But there were people from of all shades of color. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. All ages, all gender. How do you say it? Identification. It was a wonderful group of people standing there who had worked for a couple years to bring this forward. One woman that I know is Tahina. She's a great friend of Jeremy and Joshua Serrano. We always have to do a selfie that we send to those guys so that they can know that she has other friends besides just them. Tahina is from was born in this country, but her family is from India. And there are not a lot of Indian Lutherans, let me tell you. And Tahina worked really hard on this committee to help people be accepting, not just, oh, yeah, we like Tahina, but how we welcome and extend that welcome. And she stood there, and as the vote was taken, she started to cry. And when it was like 98% in favor of this resolution, she was sobbing. She was so happy that her church validated her, not only her ordination, but her existence as a Lutheran in the world, and hoping to be able to bring that to other people. We have God's promise that this is the church. We have God's promise and God's grace. But remembering God's unconditional grace is only half the story. We're not only freed from anxiety, especially regarding our relationship with God, but we are also freed for life in this world. And that's the key to this gospel promise. We are freed from the fear of scarcity so that we can be generous with others. We're free from the fear of condemnation so that we can forgive others. We're free from the fear of falling short, of failing, of being unacceptable, so that we can live for others, sharing with others the good news that God is pleased to give to us, all of us, and that is the kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. From that promise comes an invitation rather than a command. It's an invitation to prioritize, to share, to be prepared for what comes, to give things away. The difference between a command and an invitation is only in how you hear it. A command implies coercion. An invitation is freedom. And the promises of God always lead to freedom. Because we have Jesus' promise that it is God's good pleasure and God's desire to give us the kingdom, to give us all good things, then we are totally free to give it all away, to care for others, to spend ourselves in service. And for all these ways, we find our security and our confidence not in our earthly possessions or in our accomplishments, but rather in our relationship with God. There's another promise in that text that we just heard, maybe more of a reminder than a promise. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I often hear this verse misquoted, saying, you know, we get it mixed up, put it back the other way around. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be. What you love, you will pay for. And it's the other way around. That's not, Jesus doesn't say where your treasure, where your heart is, there's where your treasure will be. Jesus says that our hearts will follow our treasure. How we use our treasure, how we spend our time, how on our attention and our money determines where our heart will be, what we will love. Our stewardship of time and treasure is the way that we form our Christian lives. It's the walk of discipleship, and our hearts will follow. We do want to do what Jesus calls us to do. We do want to do what Jesus teaches us, to hold on to our possessions loosely, to sell what we can in order to care for the needs of the poor, to be generous towards others as God is generous. That's the way that we can open our hands to receive the good gifts that it is God's good pleasure to give to us, to experience that it is God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's really not very wise to find security and peace in our treasures, in our nest eggs or slush funds. We know the truth of that. As long as we rely on ourselves and on what we've stored up, we'll never be free from fear. We know too well that there's lots of things that we can't control, no matter how much money we've got. Rich people get cancer too. If we wait to be generous until we feel like we can afford it, we might wait forever. The flip side of that, though, is that when we can let go of those things that we worked so hard for, that we thought would give us security, we discover what really is secure in our life, what really is rock solid through all the changes and chances that life has to dish out. We discover that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And what a gift God wants to give you. You are God's beloved child. And while there is nothing in this life that can take that away, there are all kinds of things that we can grab onto and that insulate us from experiencing God's kingdom gift. It's easy to hear, "Do not be afraid, little flock." But it's hard to do when your heart is torn between trusting God on one hand and listening to all those crazy things that Jesus says on the other hand. Trusting in what our culture says about what we should fear, and trusting God's promise and invitation on the other hand. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is not a prosperity gospel that says if you give your treasure to where God's heart is, you will be blessed with more treasure, more prosperity. I think you heard that in Greg's sermon last Sunday. This is not prosperity gospel. This is identity gospel. We choose to behave as God's children and let Jesus be our role model. That's where our treasure is, with Jesus. And our hearts will follow. We take that step toward what the world says is foolishness, and we experience as a result of that trust only a deeper intimacy with God, but also a real love in community. Generosity leads to generosity. Trust begets trust. Love and concern leads to love and concern. This morning we heard that reading of Abraham's faith, and we heard it in both the reading from Genesis and then in the second letter reading from the letter to the Hebrews. That word faith does not mean an intellectual assent to a doctrine or a teaching. It is more trust and allegiance. Less about creed and more about relationship. Having faith is not trying to persuade yourself that you are convinced of something. Faith isn't measured by a steady needle on a lie detector test. It is to say, "Yes, I do believe." Abraham saying, "God will make us a people and we will have a homeland." Faith is when, despite your pounding heart and your anxiety, you take that next step forward, as Abraham did in the desert. Your heart will follow your feet, and you will become more fully the person that God sees as your true identity. At the churchwide assembly, our church prayed and acted and voted and hoped and celebrated in faith. Trusting God's promise to never abandon us, we move more boldly as God's church together. I hope that you'll take some time to read about what the churchwide assembly did in these last 6 days. Go to the ELCA website. You can read it all. Go to the Pacifica Synod website. There will be things. I'm going to put something in the newsletter for next month about some of those decisions that were made and some of those bold steps that we intend to follow. This gospel challenges us to let our heart follow our feet, to be transformed as people who wholeheartedly follow all of Jesus' message and are open to receive all of God's promises. We have the promise that God wants to give us the kingdom. Sometimes we have trouble remembering and acting on that promise. We think we need to do it, but we do need to pray for ourselves and for one another, and to remember to open our hands in generosity and in reception, and to remember to not be afraid. We, the beloved children of God, are free in Christ. And to quote my favorite shoe logo, just do it. Because we are free, we can just do it. We can love our neighbor. We can care for creation. We can reach out to those in need. We can give for the sheer joy of giving. Forgive as we have been forgiven. Embrace the future without fear. And receive all things in humility and gratitude. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.